Eo, Tanu Yap, Kwiget Iwans, Kwiens Na. Hi everybody, my name is Kwiget Iwans. I'm a member of the Squamish Nation and the Yagalanis clan of the Haida Nation. You're listening to Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. We live, work, play, and broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
Good evening, everyone out there in Cooperative Radio Land. You're listening to Each for All, the Cooperative Connection, here on Vancouver Co-op Radio, broadcasting from the stolen, traditional, and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. We are CFRO 100.5 FM in Vancouver. Tonight, we're sharing some exciting, game-changing news about new funding for the BC Cooperative Association, and we have LV Del Bianco live in the studio. I'm your host, Robin Puga. Tonight's show was produced by Sandy Goldman, and we'll be right back here on Vancouver Co-op Radio. This, of course, is Bachman Turner Overdrive, taking care of business. Here on Each for All, the Cooperative Connection. Last week, the Ministry of Social Development and Poverty Reduction put out a press release announcing an unprecedented investment in the BC co-op sector. It outlined how a $2 million investment from the province was being matched by others in the co-op sector. The funds will go to help cooperative businesses while expanding services for those who use them. With us in the studio tonight is LV Del Bianco, the Director of Cooperative and Government Relations at the BC Co-op Association. And LV has spent the better part of the last decade leading cooperative partnerships at Vancity, as well as leading the very successful Cooperate Now program. Thanks for joining us tonight, LV.
Happy to be here with you, Robin. And hello to all the cooperators.
Well, so glad to see you in person, to have such an exciting story. I mean, $2 million investment from the province to co-ops in British Columbia. I can't recall ever hearing of this type of investment before.
Not in my knowledge, no. It's been a long time since I think we've had anything like this.
And I do want to talk a bit about how did this funding come to be, and also this match of the funds from the sector itself.
It's a bit of a complicated history. The thumbnail sketch of it is that a couple of colleagues who are interested in working in this space, Amjad Hall and Colin Guzikowski, were discussing, I think, in a backyard over beers on a cold winter's night about how we'd like to see the province do more for the cooperative sector. I mean, we've been carrying a lot of freight. I mean, people working in the sector have been carrying a lot of freight and struggling to make do with minimal resources, and things were starting to happen. We were starting to see more educational resources. We were putting, you know, our shoulder to the grindstone there to get technical services organized, and we were seeing some good results. Co-op creation is flat in this country, except for two provinces, Quebec and BC. And I think that's a tribute to the work that people working in the sector have been doing here. And so we thought, well, what could we do if we had some more, if we had some gas to throw on this fire? And we didn't want to do it strictly as the British Columbia Cooperative Association. I mean, I think that we are the apex organization in this space, but we work with a variety of other partners. And there are a number of other communities who are out there who also expressed to us that they would benefit from application of the co-op model in their space. So we brought these all together in one big virtual room, and created a loose alliance of organizations. It includes the BC Co-op Association and our immediate affiliate, the Upper Columbia Cooperative Council, but also the Union Co-op Initiative, Solid State, which works with Black youth and newcomers to create worker co-ops based out of Surrey, Victory Square Law Office, the SFU Office for Community Engagement, Chief Leanne Joe of the Squamish Nation, the SFU BD School of Business, the WA Foundation in Chinatown, the BC Libraries Co-op, and a number of other individuals and organizations. And as a group, we approached the province with a proposal asking for $2 million a year for 3 years to help us build out the infrastructure that we had created, to scale it out and to expand to reach more people with the cooperative model, in particular, Indigenous communities, rural communities in BC, and equity-denied groups.
Wow. And so did all of these folks come together through your like mutual connections? You were able to connect all these groups together, or was there kind of an open call here?
I knew all the people in this space.
Yeah.
I would say probably about a third of the people who were involved had been on the study tour to Bologna in years prior. And so I shared my understanding of what a strong, vibrant infrastructure supporting co-ops look like. And so it wasn't hard to get a lot of people around the table.
That was great. I mean, there's a lot of also names that I had not heard participating in cooperatives before. You mentioned the WA Foundation and Union Co-op Initiative. Can you tell us a little bit about them? Because they're fairly new new organization on the scene.
Yep. This is a group. A key mover and shaker there is Johnny Sopacek, who's a union organizer. He came through our boot camp years ago to create the Vancouver Artist Labor Union Co-op, and saw the which was a test of trying to organize and using union organizing approaches to creating co-ops in service of labor. And the co-ops there, to my eyes, look a little bit different. It's not, and the approach is a little bit different than what I'm used to, but it opens up a whole, the work that they're doing there opens up a whole realm of possibilities in order to organize people into creating those co-ops that are going to serve their interests. And so there's a greater number of trade unions that are now interested in this kind of idea.
Cool.
In terms of participating.
Well, that's really exciting. And to see all of these, like I said, a lot of new faces to organizations in the co-op sector getting connected, it'd be interesting to see how this all unfolds. Now, how is the plan coming together?
The plan is in place. The process has been established. It's complex. I don't want to bore,
That's what we're here for.
Okay, then I'll do my best. It's complex. The BCCA is the steward of these resources, but we need it to go out to that broad kind of community of interest to build capacity in order to see more co-ops serving more people and more in more diverse communities. And so there is a process. There is an application process. It's the first rung will be to those that have been participating in this group. And then there is a committee, because you can't have anything co-op without a committee, that will review these applications, not with the intention of putting barriers between these organizations and their resources, just to make sure that what we're trying to achieve is in line with the vision that we share. And that is to, it can be project-based, it could be capacity building for the organizations. The idea is that can we get to the next rung? Can we break out of our chicken and egg kind of situation in terms of demonstrating the value of these processes and get to the co-ops that are there in order to sustain itself? So for the BCCA, that means, and although we're taking a percentage of the resources as part of any kind of administration of any kind of contract, everything that we're getting in that immediate first access is to support co-op development. We now have a person on staff who is Marla Gagne, who's our co-op case manager. She will be shepherding all the various co-ops that we get through the development process, ensuring that they all have the resources they need, given their capacities and timelines and aspirations in order to succeed. And there will be development resources there to help with incorporation, as we've always done, but also feasibility studies, business planning, marketing studies, all these kinds of things that people struggle with in order to get their co-op moving. For other organizations, it might look a little bit different. It might be strictly about capacity, operational funding, to have more people on the ground now in order to build up some momentum. In some cases, it might be about conducting some studies in terms of to determine, let's say in Chinatown, what are some opportunities for applying the cooperative model for legacy businesses. For Solid State, they have a strong focus in terms of supporting newcomers and Black youth, but they could do more. And so it'll look different from group to group, but I think the real beauty here is that we can mutually support each other in this. If there's an opportunity in Chinatown, now we have the machinery in order to come in and actually build on that. And I think this is really kind of like pulling together a lot of the loose threads out there to build a really kind of strong rope in order to be able to move some real big objects here.
Well, that's exciting. And I love the analogy, all of the organizations working together, becoming stronger than the sum of their parts.
And that really is the thing here. I mean, it is about an ecology rather than just one organization. And there's expertise that accumulates in different ways in these different organizations, and it's bringing all those hands and those hearts and those minds together that are really going to help us get to where we want, and that is an economy that has a much stronger cooperative component to it.
And so, what's the time frame on this project? How is it going to unfold?
It's happening right now. So as I said, we already have access to some resources. The application process from the part of the group is now open. There'll be several tiers. We're going to be allocating resources in mid-September, mid-October, mid-November, and then assess at that point what else, where we are. And there might be another round after that amongst the group, or maybe we'll go out to a broader public. I wouldn't say, I hope there's not a run on people like, oh, I need $5,000 in order to start up my co-op from this pile of money. That would not be the most time effective way of doing it. You can reach out to us and we can do that much more efficiently.
And so you've talked a lot about building this stronger cooperative ecology across all of, well, sounds like a variety of different sectors, a variety of different demographics and organizations. What is the, like, when you are pitching this to the government, the Parliamentary Secretary of Community Development and Nonprofits, what is the vision that you're providing?
That any organization, that any community of interest that wants to establish a co-op has the resources available to it to establish that co-op, irrespective of the culture that community is serving or its geographic location. And that because there are too many barriers and too many impediments for people to be able to set up their co-op. And we want to be able to eliminate those. So having access to educational resources, having access to technical services, having access to financial resources in order to be able to make their co-op fly. Now, $2 million sounds like a lot, but it's not enough necessarily to do the financing. But it's plenty to get people ready for financing that they could access through their credit union or some other financial institution. Or the local investment solutions, which we're building at the BC Co-op Association, which is a federation of community investment co-ops and other organizations that is aiming to unleash capital in local communities.
And so I guess what I also am curious about is how are you selling the co-op model to the provincial government? Like, what is the pitch that makes them want to give you that money to start new co-ops? Well, what makes co-ops so unique that they're worthy of the investment, I guess?
Yeah. I think people understand that this model is different and that it speaks to the kind of time that we're in now. Cooperators are, you can spot the cooperators. They're the people who are running towards the crisis as opposed to the ones running away, right? And we are facing a lot of crises. I mean, we're facing a lot of them in terms socially, economically, in terms of climate change. And these problems are not going to be solved by the market. They're going to be solved by people. And the resiliency that comes from people working together in community. And we know the argument, government understands the argument about co-ops, that co-ops are local economic entities that create social benefit, but local economic entities that are serving local needs, employing local people, keeping capital within their communities. And there are a great many co-ops out there that are providing really tremendous economic and social returns, not only for their members, but for the communities in which they operate. So they understand that we need to scale this up and we need to see more of this. But, you know, it wasn't a particularly hard sell in this case. The Parliamentary Secretary for Social Development and Poverty Reduction is Nikki Sharma, a former Band City board director, a former participant on the cooperative study tour to Emilia-Romagna. And I'd like to think that she got something out of that trip. And understands that there's a real opportunity here, that this is really kind of a no-brainer in terms of an investment, right?
Well, I mean, I have to say, I think this is a favorable government compared to, you know, 10 years ago. And we had been talking earlier, you know, it's been 20 years since we've seen someone in the provincial government whose responsibility was to cooperatives. So really, it seems like a good time to be pitching this stuff.
Yes, I would agree. And I would say, yes, we haven't seen anybody, elected official with a responsibility for this in a long time. But I will note that we've been talking to everybody about this, and there is widespread support amongst all the parties for the kind of work that the co-op sector does in BC. This isn't ideological per se. This is about communities of interest coming together in order to be able to resolve their problems. And in this country and other countries, that means people come from a variety of different kind of political persuasions and backgrounds. That said, this government is done.
Yeah.
And we are happy that they're doing it.
Well, it is exciting times for the BC Cooperative Association. Does this mean a significant staffing up to accommodate these development efforts?
I think modest. I think it's really about filling in gaps in terms of the service delivery that we're trying to achieve. It is really more about. There is definitely staff coming on board in order to support this, but we have to be able to sustain this over the long term, right? Because as much as I will note the original proposal was for 3 years. Now we haven't done that, so that's next job is to demonstrate the return on this and to encourage those resources to come our way for years 2 and 3. But I'm a cooperator at heart. I'm a third generation cooperator. I belong to a number of co-ops. And as much as I welcome this kind of investment, when a co-op is getting off the ground, the best way to sustain that co-op is to not get input from capital from somewhere else, right? You get capital from your members and you serve those members. And a real challenge with getting it from somebody else is that, well, now in a way, you're kind of working for them too. And I don't think that's sustainable for the long term. I think what we're trying to achieve here is really to get to some scale and not rely on this kind of resources and investment, but to rely on ourselves to do this. And I think there's a lot of changes that we can make between now and the end of year three, hopefully, right? That would make that sustainable and that would create the resources and attract the resources that we need without having to rely on these kinds of funding.
And so you mentioned that these are matched funds.
Yes.
From the sector as well. It's also a fairly unprecedented number of matching funds from other sectors.
The beauty of having these kinds of partnerships is everybody brings their own resources to this kind of exercise. And so what we did is we went to the partners and we said that we would match these resources. Went to the partners and asked them, how much are you investing in co-op development right now? And we tallied that up. And I would say it's pretty conservative. We could have maybe rounded that out a little higher. But, you know, let's be a little bit conservative about this. And we came up with $1.7 million.
Wow.
Right? And with a commitment to try and match the remaining $300,000 by the end of the year. And I can already tell you that we're on track to doing that. There are lots of resources that can be triggered out there to bring into this space once you have the resources to start. We're supporting right now organizations that are looking to expand co-ops specifically. They're looking to expand their services, and they're seeking support for their business planning or marketing study or whatever. They've got dollars from others. Maybe it's the cooperators. Maybe it's their local community. And so we can count those as 2-to-1, 3-to-1, 4-to-1 match for the kinds of work that we're doing. There's opportunities to, working in conjunction with post-secondary institutions to be able to hire somebody, maybe to do some convening around this, maybe convening in the indigenous space in terms of where there might be opportunities to create co-ops serving those communities. And, well, there could be some MITACS funding attached to some of that, right, that we could potentially apply for. And so we will tally up all those things by the end of March 31st, and I have no doubts that we will exceed the $2 million match.
Wild. And so you have mentioned Indigenous communities. There's already the Cooperatives First, funded by Federated Co-ops Limited. How do you see your program dovetailing with that?
You know, we partner with everybody. I mean, if you look at the list of the people that are participating in this exercise, it's a huge network of partners. We will participate with them. I think we are defining right now an opportunity to sort of work alongside. The Cooperatives First mandate is to support rural and indigenous communities, and we welcome their participation. I think for us, there's the partnership opportunity there is that maybe an organization like the BCCA can focus more on the associative elements of setting up a co-op. And Cooperatives First can focus in on the business development side.
Hmm.
Great. Those things would be a happy partnership, I think.
We were talking about the favorable government here in British Columbia. We also heard that the government is launching a review of the British Columbia Cooperative Associations Act.
Yes.
This has been, I think, in the same state since like 1999 or something.
No. I'm not a co-op historian here, but I think it was the early 2000s, I think, was the last time there was any kind of significant change to the act.
Yeah.
And I think that might have been when... I'm wanting to say 2007, when things like the community service co-op designation was introduced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Vancouver Co-op Radio is one now.
Yeah, that's right.
So what are you expecting to see come out of this review of the act and hopefully some updating? What's on the list of the hot topics?
Yeah, I spent all day working on our submission for this process today, and it's a long list. The way we see it is there's an opportunity for the act to be more inclusive, to reflect those cultures and those communities that have their own experience of collective action that maybe are not seeing themselves reflected in the act. There's an opportunity certainly to simplify some components of the act. There are, it is a very legalistic document. If you have trouble sleeping at night, I encourage you to give it a peruse. It can be made simplified and more accessible, and it needs to be. Because people coming to this model are often people that don't have any kind of legal background or something, and the act needs to be more accessible to them. And that's particularly true in Schedule B, the model rules. Unnecessarily complicated. Those of us that work in this space know they could be made much simpler, much easier to use, and result in fewer errors in terms of the way these things are structured. There's a great opportunity to modernize the Act. You know, the Act still refers to facsimiles and telex. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember telex. I'm old enough to remember telex.
No, fax, yes.
Yeah, and it's... But that's just a sample of it. There's also in terms of dispute resolutions and there's all kinds of things that don't align with things like the New Societies Act. The Societies Act was reviewed a few years ago, and there was all kinds of updates done there. And I think there are similar things that could happen with the Cooperative Associations Act. And then also in terms of investment and capitalization, I think there's some really interesting opportunities there.
Well, I was going to ask. So, I mean, this is something the BC Co-op Association has been working on for a long time.
Yeah.
The changes to the ability to take investment shares within a cooperative organization. Now, I think it's a different arm of the government that's responsible for that, though. Securities.
It's all about securities legislation, and that needs to be addressed separately. Mm-hmm. But there's an opportunity here to align the Act, to align the Co-op Association Act with securities, and to at least start that process of loosening up some of those kinds of restrictions, which we think are unnecessary. I mean, the investment share option that was introduced into the Co-op Associations Act. Now I can't remember when exactly, but that was there to create a path for people to capitalize their co-op from the support from the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's so complicated that very few take advantage of that. And so does that really need to be a credentialed or accredited kind of investment vehicle? We don't think it does. There's no case of such any kind of malfeasance happening involving investment shares in this country, in this province. And so I think, you know, loosening up those things, unleashing capital from community to be able to support their local collective entities, I think is what we'd like to see.
Well, I know you've been working on it a long time. I'd be very curious to see what happens with the amendments and, I guess, rewriting of the Act. When will we find out the next draft, I guess?
Right. So the process is this is an initial round of consultation that's happening now, when anybody can make a submission, and people are interested in having a voice in terms of how their act is organized, I would encourage them to do so. The deadline is August 15th.
2 weeks?
Yes. We'll get there. That will inform a discussion paper that will be produced by the provincial government. And that will lead to a second round of consultations, roundtable discussions. So the public will be able to have a voice and to discuss and articulate exactly how they see that document and whether they want to see some changes to it or they agree with them.
All right. And
that'll be in the fall.
I'm assuming people can find more information about the changes to the Act and how to contribute on the website bcca.coop.
That is correct.
And as well, the application process for the new funding coming through.
You'll be able to get that through the website too.
So for those out there with their pens handy, bcca.coop, that's the BC Co-op Association.coop. And I'd like to thank LV Del Bianco, Director of Cooperative and Government Relations at the BC Co-op Association, for joining us here in the studio.
Robin, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for coming down. And yeah, amazing, exciting news for our sector. Can't wait to see how we become a stronger co-op ecology as a result. We're going to take a short break here and be right back on Vancouver Co-op Radio. This is Each for All, the Cooperative Connection.
Who owns your radio?
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 You do.
Vancouver Co-op Radio.
100.5 FM.
CFRO. The People's Radio Station.
Give me that.
It's mine.
I want it.
No, it's mine.
No, give it to me.
You have to give it back.
Stop. Instead of fighting, try working together. Honestly. Openly in a spirit of caring for others. And tune in to Each for All, The Cooperative Connection. Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on CFRO 100.5 FM, on your dial and online at cooperadio.org. Try cooperating. You'll feel better for it.